May we look at the blessed hope in the Lord's Supper. Till he come. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. There is a forward-looking hope in the Lord's Supper. Our Lord left his disciples on the Olivet over against Bethany. His many appearances during the 40 days which he spent on earth after his resurrection had given them a new confidence, so that they returned to Jerusalem with joy and praise. Luke 24, verses 50 to 53. They were assured of his coming again. The Lord's Supper is a constant reminder of this return, and is the pledge of it. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. 1 Corinthians 11, 26. Now look at the comfort this imparts. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18. This passage has to do with the Apostle Paul's assurance to believers concerning those who had already died in the Lord. What he wrote, he tells us very clearly, he received from the Lord. It came direct from heaven and by divine revelation from the Lord himself. Therefore, we are not to sorrow about those departed in the Lord. The Lord's return is the final day, is the day of final redemption, both for those who have departed and for those who are still on the earth at that day. We may not know the day or the hour, but we do know that the night is far spent. That is the long dark night of man's rebellion, and that the day is at hand. That is the day of the Lord's glorious appearing for his own. He is coming to take us out of this murky house, this idolatrous Egypt, this worldly Babylon, and that assurance is to be a continual comfort to the saints. Therefore we observe the Lord's Supper till he come. Now, we look not only at the comfort it imparts, but the vigilance it requires. There is always the peril of stagnation and of settling down. We are not to have a mere sentimental longing for the Lord's return. It is, after all, a day of solemn investigation, for we are to appear before his judgment seat, not to be called into account for our sins, which have already been judged at Calvary's cross, but to have our service evaluated and, if possible, rewarded. Let us not be among those who say, where is the promise of his coming? Or among those who say, the Lord delayeth his coming. He will not stay away a moment longer than is necessary for the accomplishment of his purpose. His word is watch, be ready. This weekly gathering at the Lord's table should inspire us with spiritual diligence. It should be our desire to go out to meet him with open and glad countenance, and not with a sense of shame. Any Roman of ancient times, when confronted with some unworthy proposal, thought it sufficient refusal to say, Romanus sum, I am a Roman. Surely every form of temptation to sin should be met by believers declaring themselves to be the Lord's. As Joseph said to Potiphar's wife, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Genesis 39 and verse 9. Constant attendance at the Lord's table will help us to do this very thing, and to watch our souls with diligence. Then thirdly, we note the godliness it inspires. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God? 2 Peter 3, 11 and 12. Each returning Lord's day should find us a little further along the heavenward way, with more of our eye and heart and hope resting in heavenly and abiding things. Our conversation, that is our whole manner of life, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Oh, that the Lord would revivify our desire for inward holiness, our love for the brethren, our devotion to the Lord himself, in view of his soon appearing. I doubt not that the right partaking of the Lord's Supper, with proper spiritual exercises of worship and adoration, praise and thanksgiving, will best inspire us to this godly walk. In the presence of holy things, we are made to feel that everything which belongs to earth's sphere is more and more repulsive, and the things heavenly and spiritual are more and more satisfying and sanctifying. And then finally, note the hope it engenders. We are to behold his glory. Father, our Lord prayed in John 17 and verse 24, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. What a sight that will be, if being a Christian were only to see the face of the Royal Prince of Heaven, said saintly Samuel Rutherford, then it were a well-spent journey, though we have to creep through seven deaths and seven hells of suffering to behold him. The curtains which veil his glory now are to be rolled back, and we are to see him as he is. In that day, we shall have resurrection bodies, which will be capable, which our present bodies are not, of beholding that glory. Not only are we to behold that glory, but we ourselves are to obtain glory. He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. Like a bridegroom on his wedding day, our Lord will appear all glorious. But shall his beloved bride appear in rags, to be forever united to him? Surely not. She too must be radiant with glory. Indeed, she shall be the wonder of the universe. The Lord has gone to prepare a home for us in heaven. There we shall be at home with him whom we love, and also with our true kindred, those who love him too. It will be a paradise of happiness forever, a place into which no foe shall ever come, and out of which no friend shall ever depart. There the glorious Lord, in the midst of the throne, shall lead his people to living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Oh, blessed hope, blessed hope. Listen to the words of Mr. Bickersteth, Edward H. Bickersteth. Till he come, oh, let the words linger on the trembling chords. Let the little while between in their golden light be seen. Think, let us think, how heaven and home lie beyond that till he comes. When the weary ones we love enter on their rest above, when their words of love and cheer fall no longer on our ear, hush, be every murmur dumb. It is only till he comes. Clouds and darkness round us press. Would we have one sorrow less? All the sharpness of the cross, all that tells the world is lost. Death and darkness and the tomb pain us only till he comes. Sweet the feast of love divine, broken bread and poured out wine. Sweet memorials till the Lord call us round his heavenly board. Some from earth, from glory some, severed only till he comes. Amen.